You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Captain, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to get the information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. And we're pleased to come to you on AM 1600 WMQM out of Memphis. Also, we're heard on TalkNet. Help me with that, Jim. I just went blank, brain dead here.
TalkNetwork.com, my friend.
Boy, I'll tell you. And WMVM, and boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let's screw the brains on straight because we got a big show for you today. We have a terrific show. We have Tim Brown from Freedom Outpost. And if you have not heard Tim Brown, he can tear down the town. And so we're going to have a terrific, terrific show here today. And, of course, I want to remind everybody, you've only got a few days left for Christmas shopping. And, of course, Jim has divergent views from me on that. I don't know if we're going to hit that with Tim or not. Is Christmas really a pagan holiday? And I want to try to get Tim to weigh in on that today. I bought myself a Christmas present yesterday, and I bought my wife and son each a Christmas present. But I don't know if that violates any rules. But, anyway, my colleagues are going to tell me. So, Jim, let's get started with the introductions and introduce us to Tim and give his bio, and let's get started.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, we're delighted to have Tim Brown with us today. Tim is an author and editor at freedomoutpost.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, gunsinthenews.com, and thewashingtonstandard.com. He is a husband to wife Denise, father of 10, jack of all trades, Christian, and lover of liberty. He resides in the U.S. occupied great state of South Carolina. Tim is also an affiliate for the Joshua Mark V ARAK hybrid semi-automatic rifle. Tim Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on the Common Sense Show.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
You know, Tim, I've interviewed you quite a few times, and it's always a delight and always a joy to have you on the broadcast. You know, let's just get right down to brass tacks, Tim. The heart condition of this nation is in bad shape. We have a heart condition. And our heart has turned away from the Almighty and turned more on our own lusts and our own, our own wants as the Bible said it would. What do you think, Tim, as far as just, let's call you Dr. Tim here. What do you think the overall condition of this nation is, Tim, if you were a doctor and you had to give a diagnosis right now of the United States of America?
Boy, you give me some kind of title there. I haven't even finished college.
So you're honorary. We'll give you an honorary doctorate today, Tim.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now, there are probably people who have went through those things and have those titles, who are probably better suited to speak to that than I am. But from my perspective, I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet, but I read the prophets and I read Moses and I see what happened with Israel when they turned away from God. And, you know, a lot of people in our culture want to cite God for all of his promises. And sadly, I don't want to get too deep into one area without answering your question, but they want to distinguish Israel from the church. And there is no distinction. Stephen said the church existed in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, in fact, Acts chapter 7. And so Israel in the Old Testament was largely what people want to call the descendants of Abraham, but there were Gentiles who came into Israel. And in the New Testament, it's largely Gentile with some who I assume, still follow that line, but the lineage means nothing. It is, we have the faith of Abraham. And so God lays out his law, and he says in Deuteronomy 28, he gives us a few blessings that come for obeying him as a people. And then he lays out like 55 curses that come upon a people who are disobedient. And virtually all of those curses we can see taking place in our culture today. And why? Because we've abandoned God. And people say, well, it's not that bad. You know, and what they mean by that is, I still have my job. I can go where I want to go. I still have food to eat and this, that, and the other. But they don't see the encroaching tyranny that's coming. They don't go back and read Deuteronomy 28. This whole issue that we're dealing with what I call a Muslim invasion. Now, some of my brothers and sisters say, well, no, this is opportunity and this, that, and the other. And I say, you know, you've got a people who the Bible terms, 1st and 2nd John says, if people really want to know what Antichrist is, it isn't some guy on the world stage doing something. John lays out what Antichrist is. It is anybody who does not hold to the doctrine that Jesus has come in the flesh. And let me break that down. John says in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, that Jesus is not only the creator, but he is God. So if a person rejects that Jesus is God, we're coming up to the season, David was asking about Christmas and stuff, we're coming up on the season where people recognize the incarnation, that is, God manifest in the flesh. Paul says that great is the mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, and he did these things, and that is in the person of Christ. So if you have a person who denies the deity of Christ, and Dave, I hope to answer your question about that, because I've been doing some thinking on those things for years, and I think this year I have a better maybe understanding, at least for myself, that might answer your question. But if John says that those who hold to that doctrine, you should not even invite them into your house, and we would not invite them into the assembly of the people of God, the church, as when we gather together for worship, then why in the world would we invite and pay for our own destruction, which Deuteronomy says God will bring foreigners against us, people with other tongues, and they'll be the head and we'll be the tail? Why would we do that? If he's already set the precept at the home level, we wouldn't carry it into the church. Why would we carry it into our land? That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's
so,
a compelling
argument.
Yeah, it's a very compelling argument.
Yeah, I think God has given it to us, and the answer is always, it's a simple answer, but it's not simple for men to do, because men are sinful, and they're bound in sin, and Jesus says, but when you know the truth, and he said he is the truth will set you free. And I know, David, that's one of your things. You've got the shackles being broken off. When you know the truth, he sets you free. And that's the thing. The American people have got to return to the roots, and their roots are, their foundation is the Word of God. It just is.
Mm-hmm. And our slogan phrase is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we think we're doing some of that, but only Jesus can free the soul. And this is what we've lost. And let me speak specifically to a couple of issues, Tim, and let you comment on them. I am really concerned as the body count totals nearly 60 million babies murdered since Roe v. Wade. And to add insult to injury, then we're flesh peddling fetal body parts to the highest bidders. I don't think it can get any more heinous than that. How can we not be a nation under judgment?
Oh, we are a nation under judgment. In fact, it's worse than that. You've read the stories, too. And before I get into that, you were talking about the things that have come out. Planned Parenthood videos. This should have been enough to capsize the Planned Parenthood tax-funded boat. It hasn't. In fact, I think it was Michael Snyder who wrote an article saying only 29% of the American people polled wanted to actually defund Planned Parenthood. What does that say about us? After they see the Nazi-like, ghoulish mindset that some of these people have, not only in Planned Parenthood, but the other organizations that do that. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy 28, you'll find out that God warned Israel if they turned their backs on him, they would eat the fruit of their own wombs. That's eat their children, literally. He meant that. And we saw that if you read Josephus, you'll see where there were, you know, women who would hide their infant, they would kill them and hide them and then cook them and eat them. That's how bad the, you know, everybody wants to talk about the tribulation at the future. That's not there. Jesus warned that that was coming on that generation, and these people were so deprived of food because of the Roman seeds, they ate their children. You think about our culture. You've probably done the stories too, Dave, Jim, on where some of these companies like Pepsi and such are taking aborted children, murdered children, and using their cells for flavoring. Don't tell me we're not under the same curse. Don't tell me we're not under the same curses. We are. Very much. And the fact that we will not stand up and demand and hold, and when these guys say, well, we're not going to do it, look at this omnibus bill that's just been passed. It continues to fund Planned Parenthood. It continues to fund our own destruction through the Muslim invasion. I mean, Paul Ryan, I just finished an article today, and I tried to tell people this when he was running with Mitt Romney. Both of those guys are socialists. I don't care what anybody says. Look at what they do, not what they say. And I even ended saying, you know, one of the 45 communist goals is not only to take over one of the parties, but possibly two of the parties. And you wonder where your rhinos come from. I'm willing to think that many of them are stealth communists. I really am.
Well, Tim, my question to you is, my brother, where are the pastors? Where are the preachers? How come they're not standing up? Where are the colonial preachers of old? If they were still, if we still had the men of the cloth, so to speak, with that kind of intestinal fortitude, we wouldn't be going through these problems in this country, would we, Tim? I mean, isn't it really all come back to the pulpit and this shameful, just the shameful way that it's actually operated over the last, oh, I don't know, probably 100 years almost?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that as our culture goes, our culture, and I can say that about specifically our culture because it is founded upon the Bible. Nobody can deny it. You go back to the Mayflower Compact, it is explicitly Christian, and it was for the advancement of the kingdom of God. So when we look in America and we see where we've gone, there is no doubt in my mind that you cannot point, it's not pointing the finger at Obama or Congress. They are the results of who the people are. They're a reflection of the people. And we can say, well, they're not a reflection of us. Well, yeah, we hold to certain things. But overall, I'm talking about in general, overall, the people, Congress, the president, the judicial system, all of that becomes a reflection of the people, the corruption of the people. And you're exactly right. Where there is no vision, the people perish, is what the prophet says. And that is not about some vision for the future. And this, it's talking about special revelation from God. Where the word of God is not given, the people perish. Hosea put it this way: my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of the truth of the word of God. And so everything that we see has to be seen in light of the word of God. And so when these guys do some of the things they're doing, you go, okay, not only, see, for me, not only is it an issue of constitutionality, because there are some issues with the Constitution that could be corrected. Don't get me wrong, I don't think it's a perfect document, but there's no problem with the word of God, and I think that's the standard by which we judge all things. And so when we get to these kinds of issues, it is the pastors of the churches. Look, if you're in a church, in my estimation, if you're in a church that does not teach and preach to you the Word of God expositionally, and let me explain what I mean by that. They go verse by verse through books of the Bible, and they will go and explain it in a context, in its historical context, as though it were given to the audience it was given, and then draw out the practical application out of it. If you're not in a church like that, you're probably not being given the Word of God. And that is helpful for you in how you look to the Bible. And it's also helpful in understanding exactly what God has said, not what the pastor wants you to think he said, sort of like men like John Hagee, Joel Osteen, any of these kinds of guys. So with those kinds of things going on, yes, it lies right at the doorstep of those, the men of God, who are in the pulpit. And if you've got a guy who's doing that in your church, then you ought to support that man with all your heart, with all your prayers. You ought to help take care of him financially and all of that, because he is a real blessing from God to you.
Well, I think there's no question about that. But too often, these pastors, particularly the ones that come on TV, it's like a great slot machine in the sky. In fact, you know what? We're stepping aside for a break. And we come back, I'm going to finish my thought and get you to comment on it. Tim, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Tim Brown after a word from these sponsors.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Have you ever thought about what will happen if essential services shut down, if we have a power outage, if we have what we talked about yesterday in the show, a CME, a coronal mass ejection, and things just aren't working, things aren't moving, and particularly if you live in places like the LA Basin where they've got to have power to pump water uphill to get down into the basin, and that's a common phenomenon around the country. Well, you need a water filter, and we recommend that you get a Berkey water filter. And the place we recommend you go to get that water filter is at readymaderesources.com. And you can go up there and see the whole product line they have of water filtration products. But Berkey is my personal choice. It's the one I have. It's the one I keep on hand. And you can call Ready Made Resources at 1-800-627-3809 or simply go to their website at readymaderesources.com. But Tim, as we were talking about before we went into the break, one of the things that I'm really concerned about, every Sunday morning when we get home, you know, from service, if we go to a Bible, home Bible study, or if we go to a church and we come home, we eat breakfast about the same time. And there's a particular pastor, and I'm not here to call anybody out, but his whole message is centered around the fact that if you do this, God's going to answer and you're going to have riches beyond your wildest belief. God is not a great slot machine in the sky. That's not how this game works, is it?
Well, no, it's not. In fact, you know, the Apostle Paul warned that in this life we have tribulations, but we're also encouraged by the Lord Jesus to be reminded that He has overcome the world, and we're overcomers with Him. But that doesn't mean there isn't a battle to fight, and so, you know, if you're rich in this life and you've got great things, then praise God for that. He's the one who's given to you. And if you're poor in this life, then praise God for that. And if you're kind of like me, sort of middle of the road, whatever, then anything that I have or anything that I am, you know, I can't really attribute that to myself. It's not to say I don't do things, but it's to say it is the grace of God that brings us to wherever we are. But the pastors that give you that kind of line, you need to be careful of them and be wary of them and mark them out, because they are not they're not keeping in line with what the Scripture says. And that's not to say that God does not bless those who do what He commands. But oftentimes those preachers who give that message are those who are the most unwilling to identify specific sin, to point it out and give correction and call to repentance. And that's really what needs to happen. There needs to be a tremendous awakening in our country. And people will say, well, you're just saying we need to pray more. And they say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there needs to be repentance. And that is a change of mind, which affects a change of action. And in that, that means we bring about righteousness in every aspect of life. And hear me, Christian, if you're one of these guys that sit out there and say, well, God doesn't have anything to say about politics, almost all of the Old Testament is political. Almost all of it. Read your prophets. What were they calling people back to? The law. The law is political. That's the essence of what government is. You govern by the law. And so everything you read in the Old Testament, when you go through the first five books of Moses called the Pentateuch, you get into the Torah, it is law. When Jesus referenced the law on the Sermon on the Mount, He's not bringing something new. He's the one who gave the law on Mount Sinai to Moses. He's correcting the people who have abandoned God's law for the words of men, and He's saying, you heard it said by these great teachers of yours, but I'm telling you, and He's not bringing something new. He's saying, in essence, He's saying, I'm reminding you of what I gave you back there on the mountain. I'm reminding you of the law of God. Come back to that. Now, if we will do that as Americans, trust me, overnight we would see such a dramatic change in the land. But the fact is that people have left off the Christ. They have abandoned His gospel, which says He is the one who saves sinners. He saves them through His perfect life, His active obedience, as it's been called, through His death, His passive obedience to God, His resurrection, and His ascension to the throne. He is king. He's not waiting to be king like some people would have us believe on a postage stamp piece of land in Israel someday. He is king now. He rules and reigns from the heavens, and we should be praying and acting according to the Lord's model prayer, that His will be done not only in heaven, but also on the earth.
You know, Tim, what would you say to people? You talk about the Old Testament. I've heard even, you know, Christians, I think, are well-intentioned, state, yeah, that Old Testament's not really for me. That's for the Jews. That doesn't count for me anymore. We're all New Testament. That Old Testament doesn't really have any meaning over my life anymore. What would you say? How would you respond to that, Tim?
Well, it gets kind of close to some heretical views, because the Apostle Paul.
I mean, wait a minute. Pause. Have you heard that before yourself?
In fact, it's much aligned with this whole last days madness thing that you get into, where people have selectively played Bible ping pong. In fact, I just interviewed Gary DeMar. He's actually my boss at Freedom Outpost. Was the founder of American Vision. Has written a book called Last Days Madness and written a ton of books against the notion that we're living in the last days. And he does it, as I said before. You go in a context. You deal with the context of what's being said. You don't play Bible ping pong and string along verses out of context to make your eschatology. And in doing that, oftentimes what happens is they will make such a distinction between the church and Israel that they make a distinction of the law too. And they say, well, the law is for the Old Testament, and the New Testament, we're not under law, we're under grace. But they forget the same Apostle Paul who said that said we esteem the law. Same passage there in Romans. Not only that, he wrote in Timothy, and he says the law is for, and he makes a list of people, those who engage in sodomy, the thief, the liar, all of those people, that's who the law is for, and it's to be used lawfully against them. But furthermore than that, if you have a question about, okay, well, it's not just the law, anything in the Old Testament, we're in Christ and set in the other. I say, well, the Apostle Paul said, that all of the scriptures are God-breathed. Now, I have to ask you a question. What scriptures were written at the time he wrote that, and what is he pointing to? He's pointing to the Old Testament. What were the scriptures that the Bereans were, you know, held as very noble for looking to? It was the scriptures of the Old Testament to see if those things were true. So those who want to give that kind of argument, I just kind of shake my head at and said, you're not putting the pieces together, or you're willfully ignorant. I want to believe the former than the latter and give them the benefit of the doubt, because I've been in that camp as a young Christian, you know, 20-some-odd years ago. I was taught those kinds of things. I was taught an eschatology that I don't think is biblical. And eschatology, for those listening, is a study of last things. And I know what it is to come through. But when I had to start teaching people the Bible and teaching them in a context, the books of the Bible that I taught, I couldn't come up with what was being taught, because the context taught something different. And that's, you can pick your book. I've taught through many books of the Bible. And that's the thing that you have to deal with, is coming back to context, and those things are important.
Well, one of the things that greatly concerns James and I has to do with, I think, misapplication of church priorities in regard to tax exemption, where the pastors have become overly conservative now in preaching the Word of God for fear of the IRS or the DHS will somehow disapprove of the message.
Yeah, that is a problem, and I see that we're short on time, so let me see if I can get to it, and maybe I can cite, I don't know if we have time after this or what's going on, but maybe
sure,
I can cite.
Sure, we can carry this over after the break, no problem.
Okay, sure. Let me see if I can get it, and then you just cut me off when you're ready. But the thing is yeah, we've gotten this whole thing to where the church is looking to the state for certification, validation, and sadly, even creation. You say, how is that? Well, they look for validation in a 501c3. That is not necessary, even according to IRS guidelines, and I can look that up during the break because I've written on it and give you the specific on it. But a church doesn't even need that. They just need to keep good records. As far as, you know, if there's ever any question that they're doing something that's unlawful or fraudulent, they keep good records. The second thing is when it says a creation, you know, churches need to really seriously look at what they're doing when they become incorporated. They are saying, in essence, that they're not a creature of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for the church. They're saying they're a creation of the state. And I could give you some recitations from that. I think one of the greatest books on this is In Caesar's Grip by Peter Kershaw. I don't even know if it's in print anymore. I actually happen to have a copy of it. I met him years ago. It's really good on this kind of issue. And you're right. Men want to be silenced because they want to protect their pocketbooks. And if you're protecting your pocketbook, let me tell you, if you're a pastor who does that, you're a hireling. You're not called of God. The Bible says that cowards will find themselves in the lake of fire. That's according to Revelation 21. They're the first mention, and the unbelieving. Now, if we're believers, we believe King Jesus sitting on the throne, and the things that we preach are primarily preached to his ears, then we preach the truth regardless of the consequences.
Well put, Tim. Well put. You know, we've only got just a short amount of time left here before we come up on this next break. Why don't you go ahead and give out your websites? I know you have numerous websites, and I know you also write for guns.news as well. So why don't you give us your websites, Tim, and help where people can find out more about your fine work. Actually, we're out of time.
Let's hold
we're
that out of time until we come back from the break. And Tim, we'll start off with that, because we want people to be able to find you and your good work. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Tim Brown after these words.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing new Mana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana food storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price. Under $2 a meal. So you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it seized. Rolled out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Well, unfortunately, the currency hasn't improved since yesterday. The dollar is still bottoming out. The markets are in trouble. You may have heard that S&P downgraded the nation's 8 largest banks 2 weeks ago. The dollar is not where you want to be. It's under attack from Russia, China undermining the petrodollar. This is why you need to seek out precious metals. Renaissance Precious Metals is the place where I do business. It's where I've converted a good amount of my cash holdings into precious metals. And for that, you can call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. Again, it's 406-586-4842, Renaissance Precious Metals. Well, Tim, there's actually some people out there, and I call them charlatans. And not that I'm trying to be demeaning, but I think they put on a false front. And they are saying that the church is the creation of the state. And that kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking about with tax-exempt churches. You want to comment on that?
Yeah. And I mentioned to you in the break, I had found the quote from the IRS's own publication concerning the issue of 501c3. In order to be tax exempt. This is what they say. Automatic exemption for churches. You get that? That's the title. Churches that meet the requirements of IRC Section 501c3 are automatically considered tax exempt and are not required to apply for and obtain recognition of tax exempt status from the IRS. Although there is no requirement to do so, many churches seek recognition of tax-exempt status from the IRS because such recognition assures church leaders, members, and contributors that the church is recognized as exempt and qualifies for related tax benefits. For example, contributors to a church that has been recognized as tax-exempt would know that their contributions generally are tax-deductible. Now, that's from page... I just lost my place because I was scrolling up. That is from page 3 of their own publication, and if you want to find that and you want to read more on that, you can go to freedomoutpost.com, type in the search the site box there, IRS to monitor sermons as part of settlement with atheists. And you can read that, and you can go to the link yourself, and you can see the IRS's own publication. So any church, and I can speak to this from my own experience. We planted a church in North Carolina just across the line from where I live. And for over a decade, we did not secure 501c3 status, and yet we kept good records as far as what we were doing. All of the people who gave... receive tax-exempt status as far as any of their contributions. Not that that's why we should give in the first place, and I think if you give in that, you need to check why you're giving, but it does protect that. But churches do it because it makes people feel good, because they can rest assured that, you know, mother government is, you know, on the stick with them. I don't understand it. It wasn't the case in the Old Testament, wasn't the case in the New Testament, but that's what we've been trained to do. And you're right, a lot of pastors get scared about that. Speaking the truth because they're afraid IRS is going to come in and shut them down, and then they're not going to have a paycheck. And that should never be the drive of those who are the shepherds of God's people.
Tim, let's switch gears a little bit here. Our our commander-in-chief, if you will, came out in the Oval Office and gave a speech here almost two weeks ago. And he called for everybody on the criminal, in my view, no-fly list, should be disallowed from owning a firearm. Now, not only is that unconstitutional, but that's just a complete violation of due process. What say you, Tim, about that, about our fearless leader and his comments here a couple weeks ago?
Oh, there's no question it's unlawful. In fact, we had a a judge come out, I think it was last year or the year before last, and actually declare the no-fly list. She was, interestingly enough, she was appointed by Clinton. U.S. District Judge Anna Brown, this was June 25th was when the article was done, 2014, had declared the no-fly list to be unconstitutional. And here's the question that you have to ask yourself. Under the Fifth Amendment, every American citizen, and look, I'm no friend of Islam, I'm no friend of Muslims or terrorists or any of that stuff, but if we're going to go by the law, that's what we have to deal with. And under the Fifth Amendment, it says that we are entitled to due process of law before, you know, you can start messing with people's rights and any of this kind of stuff. And as far as I know, Americans have the right to move about in America as they will. Now, the question is, how do you get on this no-fly list? That's the real question. Why are you treated as a criminal? And people aren't asking this. Why are you treated as a criminal? And you say, well, yeah, they got the terrorists on there. Well, how do you know that? I mean, the article that I did the other day, we had an 18-month-old baby on the no-fly list. We had an Army general on the no-fly list. We had a 4-year-old on the no-fly list. Why are they on that no-fly list? We have Chuck Baldwin. You're familiar with him. I read his piece the other week on the shades of Nazi Germany with the no-fly list. You know, he flew into San Antonio, Texas, and stayed there 12 hours. And when he went to get back on the plane, he found himself on the no-fly list. How? Under what is he doing that? And not only is that a violation of the Fifth Amendment, now they're wanting to use that, which is already a constitutional violation. Now they want to use it to deprive people on that list of Second Amendment rights. And you can bet your bottom dollar that if people go along with that and just buy it in, and just buy into it without questioning it, guess who's going to be on that no-fly list? People like me, people like you. And what? And for what reason? There's no due process of law. There's nothing that says we can't travel. And if people have suspicions of people being tied to terrorism, then what they need to do is they need to get a warrant and they need to perform searches, lawful searches, not no-knock raids. They need to perform lawful searches to obtain evidence and then go before a court where we have a jury of our peers. That's constitutional, guys. And when we allow this other, this is the difference between tyranny and following the law of God. Because the law of God says, first of all, you got to have two witnesses against this, or the person confesses to the crime. And
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we had a confluence of thinking here. I said all along, first of all, I cringed when we created Department of Homeland Security. I thought I somehow we went back to Nazi Germany, you know, the homeland, the fatherland. But then going forward here, we created these special courts for terrorists, and I'm thinking, oh, what's wrong with our laws? We've prosecuted criminals under our Constitution forever. I could not agree with you more. But if you stop and think about it, Tim and Jim, I think the reason that they've attached special laws to terrorists, because they're in the process now of transferring those special laws to us. The no-fly list is a good example. It's not about keeping you off an airplane or keeping a terrorist off an airplane. It's about now taking your gun. They can stick you on a list and say, you can't own a gun. Why? Because you're on the no-fly list. Well, how'd you get on the no-fly list? Well, we don't have to tell you. You just can't own a gun. I mean, this backwards Orwellian double-speak thinking here has turned our judicial system upside down.
No, you're exactly right. That is exactly what is happening. And every time we hear this stuff about we're going to, you know, write a new law, we're going to cite a new agency, I'm with you, Dave, on the Homeland Security. I thought the same thing. I thought that's what the purpose of the Constitution was to establish, was establishing Homeland Security, a national defense. I thought that's what the purpose that those people were supposed to be engaged in, but apparently they have something different in mind, at least these modern day guys. And I'm totally with you. It is not about stopping terrorists. In fact, you guys both have probably documented, as I have over the years, where Homeland Security is not stopping anything. In fact, I'll give you just an example. Last year, I went up into Minnesota. I flew to Minnesota from Charlotte. And leaving out, I went through Charlotte Airport. It was early in the morning, and I wouldn't go through the x-ray thing. I said, you know, if you're going to violate my rights, you're going to do it, you know, hands-on kind of thing. And I made the guys go through all the stuff. And I'm sitting there talking to the guy, going through my bag and everything. And this guy was in the U.S. Air Force before he became a Homeland Security brown shirt, or blue shirt, we should call him. And I asked him, he says, I fought for these rights, you know, I believe in them. I said, well, wait a minute. What does the Fourth Amendment say about what you're doing right now? And he goes, well, they told us that we have administrative privilege. I said, hold on a second. Where does the Fourth Amendment provide an administrative thing for you to do what you're supposed to do? Well, he says, but this isn't a hill to die on. I said, what's a hill to die on? He goes, well, probably if they come to try to take our guns. I said, bro, if you won't stand up for this, which you took an—I didn't take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution stuff. I didn't take that oath, but he did. I said, if you won't stand up for this, you won't stand up when they come take your guns either. That's just a fact. That is a fact. And every day, the rights are being infringed of the people, and you know, eventually, it's going to come down. The guy was. Bradley was asking me yesterday, he says, what do you think it's going to take for the American people to stand up? I said, it's going to have to be at their front door. It's going to have to, when you read a book like Stephen Holbrook's Gun Control in the Third Reich, and you see what happened, even prior to Hitler coming in, you had gun laws instituted. Those gun laws were transferred over to us. That's where our gun laws started coming in. For over 120 years in America, we never had gun laws, ever. And you could order a military weapon from the Army, have it delivered in the through the Postal Service, never have to show ID, never have to go through a background check or anything. You want to end all that mess? Start giving justice to the violent criminals. Those engaged in murder, those engaged in kidnapping, those engaged in other things, you give them what the law of God demands, which is death. And then you rid the whole city. You bring justice to the victims, and you protect the rights of the people. Now I don't have to worry about being checked. You know why? Because anybody who would be checked before for being a violent criminal, they ain't around anymore. So you don't have to do any of that.
Tim, hold that thought. I want to give you opportunity. We're about to run out of time again. I want to give you opportunity to give out your websites. Where people can find out more about your work. We didn't get a chance to do that last time, so we got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm at freedomoutpost.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Work with my kids on a couple of sites, gunsinthenews.com, and also thewashingtonstandard.com, and I contribute over at guns.news.
All right, thanks for joining us here on The Common Sense Show. We'll be back with Tim Brown after these short messages.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order new Mana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Are the lights out? Well, sometimes the lights going out can be a good thing. You want to get a good night's sleep. But if the lights go out at the wrong time, you're not going to get a good night's sleep. You're not going to be able to rest easily. And you might have lots of neighbors trying to come for their due. You want to keep your lights on during bad times, good times, power outages, solar flares. Well, solar generator is the way to go. And I mean solar generator. We are not dependent upon the grid. Did you catch the word solar in solar generator? And you can get yours by going to foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And we're going to throw in something special. A grab-and-go bucket, 76 delicious meals, restaurant quality, for free. And we're going to help you finance it, too. 6 months, same as cash. foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, Tim, we were chatting during the break. And sometimes those break discussions are just as riveting as the ones on air, but we were chatting during the break, and I totally agree with what you just said. Even though we are on primarily Christian radio stations, not exclusively, but primarily, and sometimes we could be accused of just preaching to the choir, so to speak, you know there are people tuning in. You know there are a lot of people who are just giving us a little test drive, and I think this is a golden opportunity for us to win converts, not just converts to save the Constitution, but converts to save the soul of the world, if you will. And so what would you say to someone who's listening in today who might not be a fully committed Christian, but they're seeing if the other side has answers that they haven't found?
Well, I would encourage them to look back, first of all, to our early founders, the Pilgrims. They left the kind of persecution that we're about to face in this country. We are about to face it. People can mock it. They can laugh at it and say, no, it's not coming. We're already seeing that. We're seeing it in words right now, and we're starting to see it in some action. But we're going to see some of what the other parts of the world, our Christian brothers and sisters, have been engaged in. And people are going to recognize right quick whether or not we really believe what we say. And I would point people to say, you know, first and foremost, my authority is the Bible. I don't have anywhere else to go, guys. I've lived the life in rebellion, and the Bible tells me what happens when you live like that. And it happened to me. It really did happen to me. And it also says what happens when Christ changes your life. And I didn't go looking for Jesus. I don't have time to get into my conversion, but I didn't go looking for him. He came and found me. And so if there's somebody out there who says, you know, I don't know about this Christian stuff, and I've read this, and I've thought about that, and I've done this, and I see all kinds of hypocrites and stuff, and I said, you know what? I see that too. I've read those things too. But the issue is not that you can point your finger at a hypocrite or somebody else on the day of judgment. You're the one who has to give an account for your life. And Jesus said, if men will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not listen if one is raised from the dead. And so, my friends, if you're listening, the Bible has stated very clearly who the Messiah is. The one, I mean, from the beginning, that you say, well, Christianity came, you know, and followed all these things, Isis and Osiris and the whole Zeitgeist movement and stuff like this. You need to understand something. Moses went back to the beginning. And in the garden, after the fall, God said he would send a savior that would crush the head of the serpent, that's Satan. He would deal with sin, and he would save men. And he did that, and he gave us, you know, road markers all throughout the Old Testament about who the savior would be, and it's the Lord Jesus. He is the one who fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. As Paul said, according to the scriptures, he was crucified, was buried, and rose again. And you know what? It is those who truly believe that, whom God takes their sins and doesn't impute them to their account, or he doesn't charge them that that's no longer a debt for them to pay, according to the law, which is death. But rather, they were transferred to Christ, and Christ paid the debt that the law demanded, which was death, on the behalf of sinners. If you are out there, there is a command to you. It is not an offer. It is not, hey, if you like Jesus and you want to try him, this, that, and the other. The command to you is to repent. Turn from your sin and obey God. That has always been the gospel message. And if you do that, you know what? God has provided a sacrifice in which you are cleansed from sin, and you will have a new life. I'm not promising you problem-free, because there are persecutions that come with being a Christian. But I can tell you this, God is with you every step of the way, and there's no need to fear man when you fear God.
Yeah, you can sleep at night. Jim?
No, well put, Tim, well put. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I echo just what Tim said. There is such a peace and contentment that comes over you. And you're right, sometimes there's very, very serious challenges to us. But I sleep at night, even when I'm in the midst of the storm. And I got Loretta Lynch chasing me. And I understand. Oh, she is. My name's appearing on documents around the internet that my show on Sunday nights has been targeted. And I suppose it won't be time until it's our show here. And we're not the only ones. Doug Hagman and, you know, Alex Jones, all the usual characters. And I have to tell you, I still sleep at night because I know who's on my side.
Well, sure, and you know, people often will point back to, and Bob Powell from The Truth is Viral, he just sent me a thing, you know, saying that was the case for him with Loretta Lynch, and I just told him, I said, you know, I remind him of the old thing, to be silent. He says, if you want to, you know, break with me, that's fine, and I just told him, I said, you know, to remain silent makes cowards of men, but to abandon our brothers in the midst of the battle is nothing more than making ourselves to be traitors. And so, you know, I'll stand with people who want to stand for the truth. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, Loretta Lynch, she was a criminal. She is a criminal. She's violated the Constitution, Fifth Amendment. There's no doubt about it. It's documented that she's done that. And why the Senate would have confirmed her, this is why I'm telling you, these guys who are in there in the Congress and the Senate are the enemies of the people. Now, I realize there's probably a handful in each of those things who have taken some good stands, and I'm appreciative of that. I'm not trying to paint with the broad brush, even though it is a broad brush, because the majority of those guys voted to confirm her. And she's just as criminal as the guy who was in there before. And her terrorist ties from, you know, her past in the, I believe it's the Black Law Association, I wrote on it the other week, are just as bad as those Eric Holder was involved in when he went in an armed occupation of an ROTC office. So, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You lay down with dogs, you get fleas, you know, the old proverbs and all of those kinds of things. This is what we're dealing with, and we have to be willing to stand up and tell the truth. And I don't like the fact that it may cost me something, but I can't sit there and weigh that out and when it comes down to giving people the truth.
You know, you speak of the truth, you speak of politics. One person who is, I believe, speaking some truth is Donald Trump. Most of the guests that we have on here, Tim, recently we've asked him about Donald Trump just because usually we don't get into politics, but he certainly is the clear front runner. And again, polls came out, and he's pretty much smoking the competition. And I think it's because he's actually saying a lot of the things that the American people really feel, but they've been so saddled with political correctness that they haven't been able to really, you know, express themselves. What's your thoughts about Donald Trump? A, about what he's been saying, and B, do you think he actually has a chance to sit in the White House?
Well, there's a lot to answer in that, and I don't know if we have time, but I'll try to do my best. I think there's a lot of things, you're exactly right, there's a lot of things he says that resonates with the people, and he knows that. I think he actually believes the things he says, so I don't want to go into motives and stuff, but let's just take one issue of Muslim immigration. I think he's right on that, but I take a biblical perspective on it that these are antichrists, and I don't think we ought to be paying to bring them over here. I don't think that the United Nations ought to be using our money to bring them over here. In fact, I'm supportive of, I think it was Mike Rogers' thing earlier this year, I was going to write on that, where he's got a thing to get us out of the United Nations. Ron Paul used to put that up too. We shouldn't even be a part of an anti-American, anti-Christian organization such as the United Nations. With that said, Donald Trump has a track record. And in that track record, he has supported assault weapon ban. One of the problems I had the first debate that he had was, you know, he told everybody, well, I give money to all these politicians. Now, he's been one to say that Hillary Clinton is corrupt, but yet he gave her money. Why would you give money to a corrupt person? He's talked about the illegals in the land and how they're, you know, doing with jobs and stuff. And yet he came out and said there are illegals at work, you know, under, you know, various branches and umbrellas of the companies that he owns. And I understand he doesn't micromanage all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't clean it up in your own private life, the question I have is, why should people trust you to clean it up if you're elected to office? I'm not saying he wouldn't try to do it. I'm just saying you have to have a track record for that. Let me give you the spiritual analogy of that. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 give us a picture for why we have elders, or some people call them pastors. Pastors is actually the gifting, but elders are bishops in the church. And part of that is, here's their track record. Here's what their character is. Here's what they've done. And you look at that, and those things are there. If they haven't done that, you pretty much put them to the side. You say, you can't be that because of this, this, and this. You don't meet the qualification. And I think the same thing is true here. I don't know what's going to happen with Donald Trump. I'm glad to see that he's changed some of his positions somewhat. He used to hold to the assault weapons ban. Now he says, yeah, I'm fully pro-Second Amendment. Okay, fine. That's great. I'm glad that you changed your mind on that. He claims to be pro-life, and yet he's still for the murder of the unborn if it's rape or incest, and I don't get that either. But again, these are some of the things. I think people have to weigh it out. He says that he wants to bring in Christian refugees from Syria, not Muslims. How are you going to do that? You're going to do it the same way he did? Well, what's your favorite Bible verse? Well, that's a personal thing to me.
See, well, that's a whole show in itself.
It is. It really is.
Tim, we're just about out of time.
Sure.
And I'm sorry we have to end this, because I think we could go on another couple hours. You have been an absolute delight. His website, Tim's website, is freedomoutpost.com, and a whole bunch of others. Tim, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you, brothers. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much, Tim.
We want to thank our sponsors, readymaderesources.com, Renaissance Precious Metals, foodforliberty.com, and all those great outlets that pick us up, Global Star Radio, Global Star Network, I should say, talknetwork.com, AM1600, WMQM, and WMVM. We really appreciate you guys and how you're carrying our message, and we hope we're doing some good along the way. Jim, very quickly here in the brief moment we got left, and we don't have a brief moment, I'll just say this. We'll be back with Rich Sheen tomorrow, and boy, is this going to be a great interview on prepping. He is the prepper's prepper, king of the mountain. We'll see you here tomorrow. Go out and have a great night. God bless.